Well, I hope I make it through this morning's talk. I came to later on Friday, and I thought I was 16 instead of 60, and danced the night away and sang the night away, and I've got a bit of a sore throat now. Right, well, last Sunday I was on holiday, so I missed Ted's talk about Sabbath rest. But I had done a bit of preparation for this talk before we went away, and that included a summary of what I thought Ted might say, sort of preempting the sermon. Well, when I got back, I listened to Ted's talk, and it didn't include any of the things that I had projected. So I reflected a bit about why that might be. And at the beginning of his talk, Ted said that we all probably have different views on Sabbath because we're all of different generations. And I think that is very true. And I think that's possibly why I was thinking slightly differently to Ted. But interestingly, I went to see Marion in hospital in the week, and she was asking about Sunday, and I said, well, I wasn't there, but I had listened to the podcast, and I said it was about Sabbath rest. And her take on Sabbath rest was pretty similar to Ted's. So definitely a generational thing. Okay. That's not that, Marion. Marion's something. One of Ted's points was that Sabbath in the Old Testament and Sabbath in the New Testament are quite different. In the Old Testament, it's about keeping rules and regulations on a particular day. But in the New Testament, it's about entering into or being in God's rest by faith and trust in Jesus. No rules and regulations, just trust and faith. So there's five titles in this Sabbath series. So rest, reflection, renewal, relationship, and rhythms of grace. And in my head, they connected like this. Rest gives time for reflection. Reflection can lead to renewal. Renewal can improve relationship with God and others. And rhythms of grace keep all these things flowing through our lives. So today, we're thinking about reflection. And reflection means to take time to think about, to meditate on, evaluate, and give serious thought to. Now, I thought that the first part of this definition is really important, to take time. How many of us frequently find ourselves saying things like, I'm really pushed for time today, or I just don't think I can find the time to do that, or just basically, I don't have time. People in today's society tend to be busy, cramming as much as possible into our lives. Work, leisure, travel, family commitments, maybe even church commitments. The philosopher Dallas Willard said, hurry is the greatest enemy of spiritual life in our day. And he urged followers of Jesus to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. Corrie ten Boom said something similar. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. So, sin, hurry, busyness all have the same effect on our lives. They can cut off our connection to God, to other people, and even to our own soul. We can't live with Jesus in his kingdom and live a life of speed. We can't enter into God's rest if we're always racing. So taking time to think, to reflect, is so important. We need to make time for God, to reflect on his word and his work in our lives. Otherwise, we sort of become a bit unstuck and we don't grow in our faith. But you know, reflection is not instant. It takes time. And often we have to return to the same word or subject or situation several times. So that is my first take-home point for today, really. Reflection takes time. We need to make the time to reflect. The second part of the definition of reflection is to think about. And a verse that encourages us to reflect or think in this way is in Luke 2, verse 51. It comes at the end of the story about Jesus, aged 12, remaining in Jerusalem, in the temple, talking with the teachers after the Passover feast, while the rest of the Nazareth contingent set off for home. It took a whole day for Jesus' parents to realise he was missing, and then three more days to find him. Jesus said to his mother, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I must be in my Father's house? And then it says, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. And what a great word pondered is. It's not a word that's used much today, or at least that's what I thought, until I went to a meeting yesterday with Emily and she used it three times. So I just feel God is telling us to ponder. Mary thought about everything that had happened. What did it mean? What was it going to mean for the future? How did it relate to Jesus' birth and the gifts he'd been given then? And why did he think it was obvious that he would be in the temple? And what did he mean by my father's house? Lots of things there for Mary to ponder on, to reflect on, to revisit in her mind over the years as Jesus was growing up. Now, a few days also after I wrote that, I watched the first episode of the BBC series Pilgrimage. And in the programme, the pilgrims walked up a steep path to an old church in North Wales with a beautiful view out across the mountains and the valleys. And they were invited to find a ponder spot, somewhere where they could fix their gaze on the view and ponder on what God might be saying to them. And so they sat quietly reflecting on their pilgrimage so far and what they as individuals were learning about themselves and about God. So do we take time to sit and ponder on things that happen in our lives, to consider what God might be teaching us through them about ourselves and about him? So can we find ourselves a ponder spot? The third part of the definition is that reflection means to meditate on. And I would imagine that of all the books of the Bible, the verses are most frequently used for meditation are probably from Psalms. Fortunately, as a church, we are reading through some of the Psalms at the moment in our daily readings. But with two Psalms a day to read, it is quite tempting to sort of rush through. But I would recommend reading Mike's blogs on the Psalms each week and then reading the Psalms at different times each day and making the time to meditate on them. I always think it's useful to perhaps read them in a couple of different versions, or at least read the Amplified version. Get a bit of a wider grasp of what the Psalms might mean. As Mike said in his first blog, what the Psalms originally said and meant in Hebrew, in the sort of ancient Middle East culture, is almost certainly different to what we might take from them from a 21st century English translation. But the amazing thing is that by God's Spirit, we can still learn truths about God and about how he works if we take the time to meditate or reflect on words of Scripture. As Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So we're not going to meditate on any Scripture this morning, but let's just take a minute, if you would like to share with the person next to you. So share with the person next to you if any particular verse from the Psalms that we've been reading over the past week has stood out to you in any way. And if you haven't been reading along with Psalms with us, if there's anything else that you've read this week from God's Word that has particularly stood out to you. It's sounding like that a lot of you have been reading the Psalms, or at least I hope that's what you're talking about, and that you have been getting something from them. At the meeting that I was at with Emily yesterday, where she was pondering, Dave Robbins was also there, and he's not here this morning, so I'll share this on his behalf. He was saying that he'd enjoyed reading through the Psalms more than he thought he would. And the reason for that was because he felt connected in that hopefully everybody else in the church was reading them too. He felt he got something extra from it being a sort of community exercise. So I hope you haven't disappointed him, and I hope you have been reading along in Psalms as well. You know, some people like to meditate on Scripture outside, walking somewhere or sitting somewhere restful. Some prefer a quiet room where they can go in and shut the door on distractions. Other people find writing or journaling or even drawing helpful aids to meditation. And I had a friend when I was at college who maintained that she could only meditate if she was knitting. We all have different personal preferences, but whatever our preferences are, it's important for all of us to be disciplined and to set aside regular times to meditate on the Word of God. The next part of the definition of reflection was to evaluate. Now, if we're evaluating, you've got to have something to measure or value against. So if we're evaluating our lives, we've got to be sort of measuring them up against Scripture. This is one of the verses that I use sometimes to think about my life. Philippians 4:10, Paul says, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, I'm not saying that I do this all the time, but sometimes I feel compelled to think about the books that I read, or the programs I watch on television, or how I'm spending my time, and how those things match up to these values. And if I can't find any of these qualities in the things that entertain me or occupy me, what is it that I'm absorbing, and how does that affect the way I live my life? So, there are lots of verses in Scripture that we could measure our lives against. But try evaluating the things that you spend your time on against those criteria. Is it true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? And if it isn't any of those things, is it worth spending precious time on it? And, as we were reading through Psalms this week, in fact, it was probably the week before, but when we read Psalm 15, I thought, oh, look, here's another list that I could evaluate my life against. So, just to prove that I have been reading Psalms, I'm just going to read you the list of from Psalm 15 that you could perhaps evaluate your life against. It starts off with, "Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill?" And I took that as thinking about Ted's talk about, entering into God's rest. Who is going to enter into God's rest, into God's presence? And Psalm 15 says, "He whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbour no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken." So, maybe that's another list of things that you could consider, how your life measures up against those. Not sure that I've taken many bribes in my life, but does your neighbour know wrong? Cast no slur on his fellow man? Might have failed on those ones. But as we heard in our song, one of the songs that we sang earlier, however many times we slip up or get it wrong or make mistakes, God is willing to forgive us. Another good one to sort of measure your life up against would be John 13:34, where Jesus says, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you." So again, how do the things that I watch or read or listen to, how does that help me to love others better? How well am I loving other people in all my actions, reactions, and interactions? And if I find myself lacking in love, what steps can I take to change? So the last part of the definition of reflect was to give serious thought to. And that sounds like quite hard work, doesn't it? You tend to think of reflection as being easy and restful, but not always. James 1:22-25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Give serious thought to. Focus on God's word, reflect on it, study it, using the myriad of study aids that we are blessed to have available to us. Think about it, revisit it, apply it. And lastly, Mark 2:27 says, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We know that the Sabbath comes around every 7 days. It's a regular occurrence. God wants his people to reflect, think about, meditate on, evaluate, and give serious thought to his word and our lives on a regular basis. We can accept God's gift of Sabbath rest and reflection and grow, or we can reject it and struggle on with our hurried and busy lives. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that your Son, our Saviour Jesus, gave his life that we might live. Thank you that the temple curtain was torn in two, allowing us access into your presence, your rest, by faith in Jesus. Help us to make the time in our lives to reflect on your word and its work in our lives, and to grow in you and into the work of your kingdom. Amen.